Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Ignorant Talk. It's been a while, but look, we're gonna keep going. Today we have our very special guest, Dimitri. Dimitri is a Greek descent, and he grew up in the UK, and have lived in the same community as I for a while. We're kind of like co-worker, and today Dimitri is going to have an exclusive conversation with me about different topics, his experience in Japan, his personal experience in the UK, and compare this to, and he decided to move to Japan, ultimately. Is that right?
That's right.
That's cool, and we want to know why, and we also want to know if he have any suggestion for the young generation of Japanese people, if they want to move to UK, or other people, British people, want to move to Japan, etc. So, without further ado, let's start it.
Okay, let's go.
Ooh, Dimitri, so how long have you been in Japan for?
I've been in Japan for 2 months now. I found this little work exchange through an app called Worldpackers, where you can basically go stay in this place, which is called YY Lounge, and in return you work the landlord here. So yeah, you get the accommodation and they get the work, so it's a win for both parties. And I've been here for 2 months doing this, and I'm going home tomorrow. Yeah.
Are you excited for home?
I'm excited, and I'm also not excited. As in, I'm very excited to go home and see my relatives, and to see my mom in particular. But overall, I prefer the lifestyle in Japan, and I like being in Japan more. It's just the relatives that I want to go see. It's not really the country itself or anything else I really want to do in the meantime. I feel like my home is here right now.
That's very interesting. I mean, I have a similar thing. I mean, everyone have a similar thing for a place they grew up with. You know, the family's there, they love the family, excited to see family, but not very excited to go back to where they're familiar. What motivated you to move to Japan? And what have been some of the challenges you have faced as a foreigner living in Tokyo? What kind of visa are you on right now?
So right now I'm only on a tourist visa, which after COVID you can go to Japan without a visa for 3 months. Well, essentially you are being granted a visa. As soon as you go through the border, they stamp your passport and say you've got 90 days to stay in the country. So at the moment I'm only on that. But if you are from the UK, you can get what's called a working holiday visa, which basically if you're under the age of 30, you can go to Japan for about a year, and you can work a certain amount of hours. It's basically a pass into Japan for a year, which is what I'm gonna get next time I come back. Which I'm gonna come back in a year from now. So it's just tourist visa right now, but it'll be working holiday visa next year.
That's awesome. Do you travel a lot? Is Japan the first country that you've been living overseas for 3 months?
No. When I was a kid, I actually lived in Spain for 7 years.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you speak Spanish then?
I can speak a bit of Spanish. However, most of the community that I hung out with was English speaking, so my Spanish is not as good as what it should be. Although Spanish is a very easy language to pick up, so I can if I need to speak Spanish, I can always switch it on and talk Spanish, and I'll never have a problem with the language. Yeah, I also lived in Greece for 3 years, which is where my dad is from. So I got a lot of family over there, and Greek, however, when I was in Greece, I was immersed in the Greek. Not only did I speak Greek with my family, so I knew some Greek going into it, but I was in a Greek-speaking community while I was there, so I actually picked up fluent Greek. And Greek and English are like the same for me right now. They're in difficulty levels. So, that's what happens when you immerse yourself in the language. You just go to a much higher level.
That's amazing. So you indeed have some experience of living overseas in completely different countries and like completely strange.
Oh yeah, yeah. But only as a kid. I was only a kid when I was in Greece and Spain. I was only a teenager. I was with my parents. But yeah, this would be the first time doing it as an adult.
It's cool. Do you see any difference? Do you feel different when you just move to another environment by yourself compared to moving to a family?
Yeah. Of course, I feel different because I have to learn all the adult stuff that my parents took care of when I was in Spain and Greece. Here, I have to do it all myself. So I have to learn all the things. I have to learn the local language. Whereas when I was a kid, it wasn't such a big deal. I rely on my parents to do it. That's the difference, the main difference. So you have to do all the adult stuff. You have to think about money, visas, jobs, and all this stuff. How you're going to pay your taxes and stuff like that.
Indeed. Did you went through some culture shock when you, let's say, went back to the Greece, moved to Greece or moved to Spain and come to Japan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can, as soon as, the first day that you come, or you go to a different country, whether you're going there on a holiday or whether you're going there to live there, you can see the difference in the culture within the first day, within the first few hours. It immediately strikes you. It's just mostly it's reflected in the people and their attitude towards life. For example, in the UK, people are very cautious of strangers. People don't really trust strangers very much.
What about that?
Yeah, but when you come to Japan, people don't even lock up their bikes in the street. People leave their front door wide open.
I feel like Japanese people tend to be shy away from other people.
Yeah.
Don't like to interact with other people that much. See each other as strangers, but the manner between people are kind of good, I guess.
Absolutely. When I got on the train from Narita Airport to come to where I am, there was nobody talking on the train. There was no loud people on the train. In the UK, there's usually some people on the train quite loud, and no one really thinks about how loud it is on the train. But in Japan, everybody, Japanese people just know not to make noise. And so there's no noise on the train and no one talks on the train. You notice it immediately.
Yes. Does that shock you a little bit?
Yeah, it shocks me, but it's not in a bad way. It doesn't...
Right.
I notice it, but it doesn't shock me. It's just look at that. Wow.
Was that how you expected before you came here? Does Japan meet your expectation or it's over...
Yeah, I kind of did expect that because since I've been studying Japanese for a few years and looking at the culture and stuff for some time, I already knew that it was like this when I came here. So I was kind of following the rules from the start because I knew what the rules were, as opposed to someone who's coming here for the first time. They might not know that you need to be quiet in Japanese trains, for example. Yeah, that's
interesting. But why Japan though? There's lots of other Asian countries, China, Korea, and Southeast Asia. Seems like you have interesting connection with Japanese culture per se.
Yeah, well, I feel like my personality was always quite Japanese from the get-go. I'm always quite quiet. I've always been quite the quiet guy in the trains. I've always been the guy wearing a mask. I've always been like that. So honestly, even though I'm a foreigner in Japan, I don't actually feel like a foreigner. I feel more attached to the Japanese people than I do to the British people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Even though we look very different,
right?
But I think I act more similar to they do, than I do to British people. So I don't actually feel that much of a shock being here. It feels actually kind of homey.
That's interesting. Your family are. They're migrated to UK. And do you see yourself, identify yourself as a British person? Or do you identify yourself as Greek, British? How do you see yourself?
I just see myself as a half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah, I can't really say that I'm just British only or I'm Greek only. Because I have one parent from each side. So yeah, this has been a thing that I've been thinking about for many years. I'm sure lots of people who have at their half and half agree with me. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, am I this or am I that one? And at the end of the day, you just have to accept that you are both, because you are shaped by the society that you grow up in.
That's right.
So if I grew up in Greece and I also grew up in UK, that means I'm a mix of both. That's just how it is.
That's very interesting. Does that shape your idea, opinion on Japan compared to other British people? Just because the way you grew up in UK and the fact that you're half British and half Greek and you're traveling countries and...
How does it shape my perspective of Japan?
Your personal experience, that very identical personal experience with your other British people, I'll say.
I think so, yeah.
You're more international.
Yeah, because I've lived in multiple countries before, I think it's a lot easier for me to come to Japan.
Right.
And to like just take it in much quicker than other people do, because I'm used to it. Whereas a lot of people, British people, or a lot of people from many countries actually, who haven't moved to another country before, mm-hmm. they haven't done this. So for those people, it's going to be a lot more of a shock to go to a country, especially a country like Japan, where the culture is very different from the UK.
That's absolutely
to those people, it'd be a big shock. But to me, not so much because of my childhood.
Cool. I should have absolutely done my research, but I don't know what's the percentage of British people constantly traveling. Do you see, is it a big chunk of people, or does British people tend to stay home and less likely travel to another country, or let's say America, Canadian, etc., other European countries?
I don't know exact percentages. But I do know that there are a lot of... The weather in the UK is really bad. So a lot of British people, if they're going to migrate to another country, mm-hmm. to become expats, they're going to go to a country with usually very sunny, with very nice weather.
I can see that.
Yeah, so when I lived in Spain, in a place called Costa del Sol, there's a lot of British people there who have migrated over.
Because it's sun.
Because it's nice weather, exactly.
Because it's nice weather.
So usually they go to places with very nice weather. You can expect to see some British expats.
Do you think cuisine, food, other reason?
Absolutely. I mean, the UK's food, but kind of have reputation for being like bland and just like.
Do you think people over exaggerating? Because I do have some British people cook really nice food. I don't know what it is. I can't name it. Especially bakery.
I think it's in comparison to the other culture. Like if you compare like British food to like, I don't know, Greek food, the English food looks really bland in comparison. But that doesn't mean you can't cook a really good like English food.
Right. Right.
Somebody could figure it out. But just overall, like, you're very rarely gonna see bland Greek food. Japanese food.
Name five British dishes.
That's the thing, I probably can't even do that.
Exclude fish and chips, let's see. Fish and chips,
So common British food is usually like of course you got the English breakfast, which is like toast, eggs, hash browns make it, baked beans and stuff like that. Yep. Really, you can have any of those things on it, to be honest. As long as it's got the hash browns, the toast and the beans, it's pretty much an English breakfast. Sausages as well, of course. Other things are obviously like cottage pie. Do you know what that is? It's basically just like mince.
You bake the pie, right?
Yeah, you bake it. It's like mince with like beef flavoring, topped with mashed potato, and then you bake it.
It's a salty pie.
Yeah, it's a pie with mince and mashed potato. It's actually really nice, to be honest. People usually eat that quite often in the UK. My mum makes it. Really good at making it. Of course, she's British. I think the best British food you can get is stuff that's baked. Like, we actually have really nice cakes in the UK. All stuff
guys,
like that.
Do you guys use fry pan?
Yeah, we use frying pans.
Okay.
Yeah, we cook food in frying pans, but usually that's not British food. Some like most British food is baked. To be honest, but it's cooked in the oven.
Yeah.
Like fish and chips is usually done in the oven. I mean if you go to a fish and chip shop, they'll do it in a deep fat fryer. But usually at home people do it in the oven. I mean, I do it in the oven because it's just easier. And most British food is done in the oven. So pretty much every British household you go to have an oven. Like here in Japan, there's no ovens in the households. They just use
fish. It's like a fish griller.
Yeah, they use rice cookers and frying pans on a stove. But British households will always have ovens because most British food is done in an oven. Yeah, best.
Do you think it saves more time cooking Japanese food? Let's see. Fry something and cook something is probably going to take
longer. Oh yeah, absolutely, because usually with the case of British food, you just take it and bung it in the oven and then eat it.
Yeah,
so you just take it, you wait 30 minutes for it to cook, and then you just come out, collect it, and eat it.
It's very similar to the air fryer that we're using.
Yeah, we have an air
fryer. Just put it in and just prepare the food, put it in and wait for it, and adjusting the temperature, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned some culture differences you saw on the train, but can you name some more culture differences? I mean, culture difference, of course, culture difference, but more like social difference, communication differences.
Oh, of course. Well, of course, the bowing is a huge one. Japanese people.
Do you do the bowing?
Yeah, I do it. I do it all the time.
I don't do the bowing.
In Japan.
I'm very disrespectful when I walk around. I don't even say thank you after I finish the food, but I should have learned it. It's not because I purposely don't do this.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta do this.
Also, in Japanese, like society in general, they have wherever you go, if you're a customer, you'll get treated like you're a god, basically. You'll get called Kyaku-sama, which means, sama means like someone who's praising you really high. Like, sama is like the highest praise you can get.
It's like sir.
It's higher than
times 10.
Yeah, san is like sir, and then you got, like, kun is the lowest, then you got san, then you got sama. Sama is like god level status. So when you go anywhere, Japanese people will call you sama.
I want to introduce this a little bit. Son is to someone who, like, similar level, right? That you respect them, but they're just, like ear to ear, I guess.
Yeah, but you can also say it. It's also, when you're talking up to someone, you call them son. Because it's very, it's respectful, but it's not as respectful as sama.
So, if you talk to a boss, you basically just call them son.
Son, yeah.
If you're a customer, you talk to some customer is God.
Yeah.
Not God, but someone you really respect.
Exactly. You put a lot of praise on the customer. This is another cultural difference. In the UK, we don't really do that. You just kind of talk to customers like they're your equal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Japan, they talk to customers like they are God, basically, and they always use a thing called keigo. They don't speak in the usual teinego. They use keigo, which is basically a very, very honorific, respectful way of talking up to someone. So they literally change the way they talk. The language itself changes. The words, like, so saying "motemasu ka," they'll say "omochi desu ka." Like, it's always like
the respect form.
Exactly. So that's another huge cultural difference. So if you are working in a Japanese like job, you need to be able to put yourself below the customer. You need to humble yourself a lot. In the UK, you don't really have to do that when you're working a job. You just talk to the customer like they're anybody, like it's like they're on your level, sort of thing.
Yeah. I totally understand the Western perspective of customer service. Any other differences you realized? Culture differences.
Should I go back to the bowing on the street? Like, Japanese people, they have this is a collectivist society as opposed to the UK, which is an individualist society. Like, in the UK, it's like, it's all about, oh, I can do this sort of mentality, whereas in Japan, everyone thinks that we need to do this together sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Japanese people, they just, like, they're much more, they're much more kind to strangers because of this, because they believe that life can only work if they do it together, sort of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where the bowing comes from. That's where all the politeness comes from. It comes from this mentality.
Yeah. Do you like this? Do you admire this type of culture and how people interact compared to the way people interact in the West? Do you like it?
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely like it. I prefer it a lot, to be honest. After living in UK for so long, and like in UK, I've actually met quite a lot of rude people. In Japan, I've been here 2 months. I have not met one rude person.
That's
like, I've only met polite people everywhere, even in bars, like in these like crazy environments. Everyone's just so polite.
Yeah.
And I honestly prefer. I can never get bored of it. I think the world, other societies can learn a lot from Japanese, like humbling yourself mentality.
Right, right. What are the rudest thing that you encountered in Japan? Or just name some.
Rudest thing?
Yeah, how you be treated in a bad way, or you know, by a stranger.
Heckles in the street are very common in the UK. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, or if it's not really about you, or if it's something like, you don't have to be dressed weird to get heckled. You could be dressed like very normal, extremely casual, minding your own business, but then you just get like some people just like to say something to you randomly in the street, like in a demeaning way. Like, for example, like they'll just make like it's nonsensical stuff, and it's nothing to do with you. It's just them, and like they just, it just shows they have no respect for strangers, kind of thing. And that's the main thing.
Interesting. So do you think these, during the period that you live in Japan, these Japanese culture or people interact with each other, ever change a belief system? Like, not belief system, changes your beliefs or your personal behaviors, etc.
I think, yeah, it has actually. I'm actually quite a like an introverted person who likes to do things on his own.
Yeah.
But since I've come here, I've actually realized that it's a lot easier to do things with other people's help instead of just doing everything yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Because I usually do that when I'm at home. Yeah. If I see a problem, I think to myself, okay, how can I solve this problem? And I'm the only one who can do it. No one else. Like, I can't ask for help. But coming to Japan has made me think, like, okay, I can ask others for help. Like, oh, I know this guy who knows about this thing. He can help me. Mm-hmm. Or I know her. She knows about this. She can help me. And then this, like, mentality has, like, kind of crept into my head as I've been in Japan. Like, I don't have to tackle problems on my own. So, that's definitely changed in the last 2 months that I've been here. When I go back to UK, I think I'll keep this mentality with me and ask for help.
That's interesting, because from my perspective, from what I learned, the British government is extremely helpful. Or let's say, talking about, like, so I thought people are helpful too. A lot of people's welfare are Japanese. I mean, not Japanese, the British government is very generous.
Yeah.
And how do you see that? Is that true? And a lot of people's on welfare, and how does that impact your country?
The UK is very, has this thing called benefits. So if you don't have a job, the government gives you money. If you have a child you have to look after, the government gives you money. If you just lost your job, the government gives you money. If you're sick and you're disabled, the government gives you money. So yeah, but people in the UK who trash the government are usually the people who complain about the government. The people who are taking benefits are usually the people who complain about the government. So it doesn't really make any sense. Like, I know the government in the UK is not perfect. They've done a lot of things wrong. They could do better, for sure. But the job they're doing is not... I don't think it's as bad as what everyone makes it out to be.
Do you think it making sense, what the British government is doing, giving a lot of welfare?
The welfare thing is like, it's... I personally think they should cut down on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to do that right now, because like, a lot of people are really dependent on it. So if you just cut this down straight away, it's going to ruin a lot of people's lives. And so that makes me think that you can't cut it down. Because it's just, everyone's so dependent on it, so you should keep it at this point.
Right. Is it also because of that, do you think the government is not creating enough jobs? based on your personal perspective. I'm not talking about statistic. I'm not talking about what the media tells you. It's just from your perspective. Do you think unemployment rate is quite high? Just friends around you. Do you think what government can do to improve employment? Is there any job can be created?
I think that the main problem is that they're not building enough houses, as opposed to, because people have dreams of buying a house and stuff like that, but like the house prices are just too expensive, and the government keeps saying they're going to build more houses, but they don't build more houses.
Exactly.
And that causes the price of houses to go up, which means that nobody
can afford it.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to jobs, though, honestly, I haven't really thought about it so much. But in the UK, it's actually pretty easy to get a job. But I think a lot of jobs are people just don't want to do them. People just don't want to, you know, be a janitor because it's too shameful. They don't want to be a laborer because it's too shameful.
But you get paid well, right?
And of course,
to be a janitor, you pay.
Sometimes the benefits, just you get, you know, benefits from the government, the welfare. You basically get more from doing that than you do from working. So why would you work? So
that's a conundrum.
Yeah, that's
government's facing.
Yeah, that's a conundrum. Yeah.
Exactly.
They try to enforce it by saying, okay, you need to actively be looking for a job in order for us to continue giving you welfare, job seekers allowance.
So
it's called.
Who are these people doing janitor and then?
They usually some people do it, but it's usually foreigners who do it. Foreigners will come along and do the job, like they have no shame, they don't care because they're from a different culture. But during the British culture, they have like, I can't be a janitor or I can't be a. They have this mentality. So they just instead just live on benefits.
It's a phenomenon in all society. Like at the very beginning, you just feel like you can do whatever job you want, but after you live in this society for long enough, you know more people, just realize I can't just do this for the rest of my life. So you gotta change. I mean, it's alright, but I think why don't make these jobs more flexible to young people who need temporary money? People who went to college and etc. They just need some, right?
Yeah.
And maybe cut down the welfare. I'm just having some. I'm just pulling shit out of my ass.
No. They absolutely should do that.
Yeah.
But like, it's not so easy to do that because everyone's dependent on welfare now. Because let's say someone is like 19 years old and they have a kid, and the mother can't work. She has to take care of the kid, so she's dependent on the welfare. Look after the kid, and what can you do? You can't just like stop feeding the kid. You have to look after the child. So
right, yeah. I mean, certain welfare should be maintained. I just guess some of the welfare, for example, if a single mother have kids,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you need to look after the kids,
yeah.
and you need welfare.
Yeah. Personally, I think what the government should do is they should increase the amount of jobs, build more houses. And they should cut down on welfare slowly and eventually just cut it out completely. Well, not completely. Like for people, for certain situations, people should get it.
Yeah,
but
for elder people and.
But like not someone who's 19 years old is perfectly healthy, you know.
Exactly.
They should not be on it. They should be getting jobs, and the government should provide those people with jobs.
That's right. Seems like that's a similar problem for any European society.
Yeah.
Lots of them, if not any. So if anyone or Japanese or Chinese or anyone, you know, who just generally want to consider to move to UK, work and study, what are some of the challenges they might have?
Oh, if going to UK?
Yes.
First of all, first of all, the language is a thing.
Let's say you speak perfect English.
Perfect English?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it's that hard to immigrate to the UK. I think the UK, if you speak English, even if you don't speak English, actually, I think immigrating to the UK is probably one of the easiest countries to immigrate to. The government makes it pretty easy for you. It's much easier than going to Japan. Like, you don't have to, like, have some sort of deep spiritual reason to come here. Like, like you do in Japan.
Deep spiritual reason.
Yeah, like in Japan they have this thing called, basically if you do some sort of cultural activity, like you're learning like taekwondo or something, or like you're doing something like
that's, interact with the culture.
Yeah, you're interacting with the culture
to prove that you have.
You can get a visa by doing that. But there's none of that in the UK. Like getting the UK visa is much easier.
See, I want to come here to learn how to English tea.
yeah. Like I don't know if there's a system for that, but Brexit has made it a little bit harder for foreigners to come in.
But these type of things are easy to bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
Right, of course. I guess you still need some type of income and qualify to.
Yeah. I mean, like, what does it take to immigrate to a country? You just need a place to live and a job,
exactly.
Right?
Usually.
Yeah, getting a place to live is quite easy. Rent is going up and up and up, so right now it's getting harder. I'm talking about the last 5 years, it's been pretty easy to just, like, go on Gumtree or something, find a place to live. Like, just find a room for a few £100 a month.
Yeah.
And getting a job in the UK is actually quite easy as well, due to the fact that so many people are on welfare, they're not working, so you can just have their job.
Huh.
You know, like, they don't want to
do these jobs, you go do these.
Yeah, they don't want to work in as a janitor or anything like that, so you can go and do that easily. Yeah,
that's why UK need immigration.
To be fair, British people could just do it themselves, but they don't.
Yeah.
So that therefore foreigners do it, and
that's true.
That increases immigration.
It's all about the purpose of life, isn't it? Is it safe to live in cities like London and which city you come from?
I'm from Southampton, which is like an hour and a half drive from London.
Is it safe from a personal experience?
I wouldn't say it's completely safe, but I don't think it's the most dangerous city in the world either. You definitely have to be careful, like walk around at night.
Let's say Tokyo. Out of 10, how many squad?
What, say Tokyo safety?
Yeah, safety.
It's probably like, if you're a man, it's much safer if you're a woman, because in Tokyo, out of 10, I'd say for a man, it's like 9, right? Like, there's always a chance.
I agree.
There's always a chance something will happen.
Something will happen, but less likely.
Very, very less likely. But if you're a woman, maybe a bit lower, because in Japan, usually the crimes are like sex-related crimes.
Sex-related, yes.
Like you'll have perverts or something.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a man, you don't really have to worry about that so much. So for a woman, it's probably like 7 or 8. But it's still really safe even for women.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to threaten your life.
No. But it's still going to threaten your...
It is
your,
pretty disgusting.
Your head.
Health, your head, yeah. Anything mess with your head, consider as assault.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I'd say, 9 out of 10.
Well, how about UK then? What's the score? Let's say London.
London? Well, London, it depends on neighborhood. There's a lot of, like...
Let's average it out. Let's just average it out.
That's
because
pretty
when we're talking about Tokyo, it's pretty average.
Okay, the London Underground is probably not that safe, I don't think. If you walk around there at night, I don't think I would walk around there at night, the London Underground. But I'd say about 4,
pretty low.
5, something
okay.
like that.
Alright.
I'd say my city is like 6. Yeah. Overall, it's probably like a 5. But if you go to some really like dodgy neighborhoods, it's gonna be lower. If you go to some nice neighborhoods, it'll be a little bit higher.
Absolutely understand. Do you think the rich neighborhood is also at stake?
At stake?
Vulnerable to crime, starting to.
I have actually seen on the news like some reports of crime happening in some rich areas of London, like Chelsea, which is like
Chelsea.
Yeah. I think even those areas are not as safe as Tokyo. Not even close.
They used to be quite safe.
I don't know personally. All I know is like what happened in the last 10 years.
That's very interesting. Wow. Cool. So, what do you think the future holds for the UK? And in terms of opportunities and challenges, someone wants to move there, you know?
I think that But right now we have obviously the war in Ukraine going on. We have COVID. And we just
Got to be a big impact.
Yeah.
Do you feel that impact? Like the war in Ukraine is really.
Yeah, it's impacted. It's impacted the cost of living a lot.
It does.
Yeah, so the cost of living has gone kind of like through the roof. Like prices of certain foods have just doubled. Like pretty much doubled. Like for example, there's a thing called a meal deal, which is where you can get a sandwich, a packet of crisps, and a drink for £3. So that's
still pretty expensive.
Yeah, that was back in the past. That was in the past when it was a good price. We thought £3 was a good price. But now it's gone up to like $4.50 or something.
What, is this meal plan a government program?
No, this is just an example. A lot of shops do. Because it's very common amongst British people to get a meal deal. And now it's gone up so much, and it's like we just see the difference in all the prices basically in the meal deals. Because that was a really good deal.
That's true. What I heard about comparative countries' economy, go to the McDonald's of that country. Compare the price of that.
I basically look at the meal deals and I see it going up and up and up all the time, and I don't buy them anymore. And I think as a result of this, a lot of people with not very much money are going to suffer a lot. They're going to have to give up a lot of luxuries. I think they'll be okay in the end. They're just going to have to like sacrifice a lot of things in order to survive due to the cost of living. Because prices of food and the cost of living in general, rents and stuff like that, it's going up. But people's wages, how much they're getting paid, is not going up. It's like staying where it is.
So is it already come to a point people starting to worry about what to eat?
Absolutely, yeah. There's things called food banks. Basically, people are eating from those. They're getting more and more common. There's one in my city, I think, where you can just go and get food if you don't have the money to buy food.
Right.
And more and more people are starting to use them as a substitute of going to the shop and buying food. Because like shopping is really expensive in the UK, right?
Can middle class still afford that?
They can afford it, but they cannot afford like. Usually, before, they'd be able to afford living and going on holiday every now and then. Now they're just going to have to live without the holiday, you know, sort of thing. And this is only going to affect, like, the working class people. It's not really going to affect rich people, I don't think. So it's just, what's going to happen now,
well,
I think...
The rich might have housing in other countries.
Oh, of course.
They don't have to worry about
doesn't
that.
Even affect them. They'll have food too.
They're not typical British people.
No, the typical British people...
In the middle class.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen to them is that they are going to sacrifice the luxuries in their life. But I think eventually UK will recover. I think it will recover eventually. But like, in the meantime, people are just going to suffer by having to give up luxuries. But they will survive because humans are very adaptable to
that
situation.
That's true. So, Dimitri, you have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
How can we find that?
So at the moment the YouTube channel is it's just a gaming channel, so honestly it's kind of only really relative to people the game, but the name of the channel is A True Boss, AWBW, and I play a game called Advance Wars on there.
A True Boss. I know there's a guy who is like who's also British, and he does interview for tech or like a smartphone, and his name is Who Is The Boss.
Who Is The Boss?
Yes. Very hilarious. Yeah. Both of you guys involve boss.
That's my YouTube channel. If you want to see me play Advance Wars, you can go ahead. If any of you watch play Advance Wars, it's a Nintendo game from quite a long time
Advance
ago.
Advance Wars.
If you guys like it, and go ahead and watch my channel. It'd be awesome if someone from the podcast relate to the Advance Wars.
Yo, go check it out, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Alright.
That's my YouTube channel. I'm gonna make more YouTube channels in the future. I'm gonna make a Japanese YouTube channel. I don't know what it's gonna be called yet.
Yep.
I haven't decided.
You can take video and show people around about you. Even though there's a lot of people doing this, you can find your niche target.
I don't think there's many like Japanese YouTubers. Foreigners speaking Japanese, teaching like English related stuff. I don't think there's many of that. But like English speaking people is a lot. So I'm gonna try and make a channel that's kind of niche. So like I don't have much competition basically. So That way it's easier for it to grow. Because if you have a lot of competition, it's really hard to stand out.
You need to find your target and ease in.
Yeah, the target audience will be Japanese people.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you're going to speak Japanese?
I'm going to speak Japanese in the videos. I'm going to try my best. It's going to be scripted, so it's going to be a lot easier to talk than it will be if it was not scripted.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
by the way, I realize you have pretty good talent in the term language. You learn Japanese relatively quick. Compared to a lot of us.
I've been studying Japanese for many years. I've been studying probably longer than you guys have.
That makes sense. And, we just come here. We don't even study. We just get by.
Yeah.
You know, and able to just go to a convenience store and buy things. Onegaishimasu. Arigatou gozaimasu.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I bet like everybody knows, even never come to Japan, knows Arigatou gozaimasu. Cool. It's been a nice conversation. Today and you're traveling tomorrow back to UK. Hope you have a nice trip.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And next year you will come back.
I'll be back here next year. Yeah, maybe you can talk to me again next
year.
That's
exactly what I'm gonna do. We're gonna talk another episode about like how you spend this 1 year back home, and you know what's a future plan, etc. We can do that.
Yeah.
I have guests come back to my podcast multiple times. I love to do that with them once a while. So, yeah, thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank y'all. Listen to this crazy episode of Ignorant Talk. Hope y'all stay tuned and have a great time.